Welcome to the Zen Courses Show. You're listening to episode number 2. Hey. Welcome to the Zen Courses Show, the show for online course creators who care about building actionable, meaningful, and profitable online courses. If you're a solo entrepreneur, tech geek, or creative, the Zen Courses Show is the place to get expert advice for creating your online course, overcoming overwhelm, and growing a balanced business. To get the full experience, sign up at zencourses.co, where you'll get access to free lessons, resources, and more. Again, that's zencourses.co. What's up, everyone? Today, I'm excited to have Jason Zook as a guest on the Zen Courses Show. You might know Jason from his famous and crazy business ideas, such as iwearyourshirt.com and buy my last name. Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about crazy stuff.
So I like to start things off a little bit different. Name one interesting and little known fact about yourself that's happened in the last 2 years.
Interesting and little known fact last 2 years. Let me think. What do I want to divulge to your listeners? This is the place where we have to go. I gave up soda 2 years ago, cold turkey, and I have had soda like 4 or 5 times since then. I'm sorry. I'm letting everyone down. I know. But I kicked I drank like probably 6 Diet Cokes a day.
Oh, wow.
Habit to now it's like 1 every 3 months at a movie theater. I have one. So it's okay, people. I can stick to things.
Well, thank you for being vulnerable with us.
Thank you. You're welcome.
All right. So let's talk about you. Well, you talk about your entrepreneurial journey quite a bit. For those who haven't heard your story, can you give us a quick overview? How did you come to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I'll save everyone like the if you want to get into the details, it's easy to find all that stuff. Like if you actually care, but yeah, I left the corporate world in 2007. I started a web design company with a friend of mine. We grew that to 4 people, so incredible growth. We kept it small. We ended up working with some pretty awesome clients, and then our clients started asking us about social media. That led me into the idea that I wanted to wear t-shirts for a living. This is 2008 during the recession. Great time to start a crazy, unique business. But it actually ended up working out. I did that for 5 years with iwearyourshirt.com. And then it kind of fizzled out towards the end. I feel like I grabbed my moment in time in social media. I sold my last name twice because my mom got a divorce and I didn't know what I wanted my last name to be. And I'd had 3 ones before that. So yeah. I did that. And then I wrote a book kind of about all of the entrepreneurial stuff that I did over the past couple of years. That was called Creativity for Sale. And then, yeah, I have a bunch of random other things that I do, but I like to say that my entrepreneurial journey is something I felt I was always destined for, but never kind of took advantage of up until a couple years ago. And now I kind of feel like I'm in my right place.
I really resonated with your story and that little piece that you just gave. And I just want to share it with those who don't know your story, is that you said in one interview that you didn't have that entrepreneurial story that we hear a lot of, like you were selling lemonade or selling candy at school, that it was very much something that you came into through just not wanting to be in the corporate machine. So how did you transition from what you were doing, all of your crazy ideas? I guess the first thing is, how did you get the courage to decide to take these ideas on?
Yeah, I mean, I think initially, like leaving the 9-to-5 world, I just got fed up.
Yeah.
And I bet a lot of people listening to this can either relate to that feeling they've had or that feeling they're getting to. And I think for me that there's a big emphasis in entrepreneurship of risk-taking and courageousness and all this stuff. And I think I have that now to an nth degree, but at the beginning I didn't. I just had gotten to a point where I was so fed up. And I had this feeling in my gut of just things didn't feel right. I felt like I wasn't in the right place in the world and that there was more for me out there. And I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling too. You know, you kind of grow up thinking there are these certain paths that you have to take. And there aren't. I mean, especially now with the internet. I mean, oh my God, like, you can do so many ridiculous things, and I've done them. And I think that that's just really cool. So yeah, I've really embraced this life of an entrepreneur. I really feel like I'm in the right place now. But you're right. I mean, as I've said before, I ate a lot of candy at school, but I certainly didn't have a job selling any or making any money or any entrepreneurial stuff. I mean, I was a pretty quiet kid, played a little bit of sports, read a lot of comic books. And then kind of the internet, you know, shaped me into, you know, an entrepreneur and showed me the opportunities as I watched like the $1 million homepage happen and things like that. And I just said, wow, like anybody can do this stuff. Okay, well, why don't I start trying it?
Very cool. So recently you transitioned from the two businesses, I wear your shirt and buy my last name. And you are now doing, and I quote from your site, you're focusing on helping entrepreneurs and creative professionals take action and make money doing what they love. So first question, why did you decide to make that change?
That's a really good question. I think part of it was that I didn't feel like I was actually giving a lot of value to the world. Okay. And, you know, I think I Wear Your Shirt started out with the idea that I wanted to just tell the stories of small businesses. And I wanted to be the guy, the nobody that was able to build a business doing that and just share with you cool new businesses. And so, you know, kind of what I had thought about building was Product Hunt, you know, in 2008. It was like, could I find the cool business every day and share their story? And it really transitioned out of that into more like commercials and working with brands and really just not even focusing on delivering value to my audience, but just, you know, churning out content. And so when I realized that that was just not bringing me value, it was making me unhappy, it got me into debt, that I had a lot more to offer and that people were waiting for me to kind of share my experiences and teach them lessons based on the stuff that I had done. And so, yeah, that's kind of where Jason Does Stuff evolved. And I would have loved to have moved away from, you know, I had this idea to go with a brand called The Rebel Within Us, which is a really cool name. It's actually the front page of my book, and to transition everything I was doing into that. But the more that I talked about that with other people, they're like, yeah, I mean, that's cool, but that's not you. Like, you're the guy who does stuff. Like, it should still involve you. And I really took that feedback to heart. And I said, you know what? I think I will stick with a brand that's a little bit focused around me and Jason Does Stuff, but I will anchor it to the, I want to help people take action in their lives. I want to help them get out of their way. I want to help them learn from the things that I'm doing. And so, yeah, that's really been my focus. And I think it's, for the past year at least, has really kind of moved me in the right direction and showed me a way that I'm really enjoying.
There's something, at least I feel, there's something very beautiful about getting to the point where you may have had a business that's been successful. And then you get to this point where you're kind of, there's a shift. And you want to figure out how you can add more value. And I think there's something really beautiful with like embracing what you know and sharing that with people to help them do their thing. So it's just a fun and a great place to be in.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think part of it for me was I really had to redefine like what my values were and what my things in my life were that brought me value personally. So, you know, two separate things there. You know, I don't value money as much as I thought I did. You know, I don't measure my success based on how much money is in my bank account anymore. I measure it more on how much control I have in my life and how much flexibility I have in my work. And those things bring me much more happiness and excitement than an extra zero in my bank account, because I had the extra zero a couple years prior, but I was so stressed out. I was so overwhelmed. I was so overworked, and I was not enjoying the money. If anything, I was always just scrambling and fighting to try and make more. So reestablishing, or really establishing those values, helped me kind of make that pivot in my life, if you will. And I like to tell people that a book you can read that really sets this up nicely for you is The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. It's just a fantastic way to put this in perspective. If you're sitting looking at something that maybe you don't enjoy, or you see a big hurdle that you need to jump over, it's not necessarily something that's going to stop you or that will be the thing that breaks you down forever. It's just an obstacle that once you get over will lead you into something even better or greater.
Cool. Thanks for sharing that. So I have to ask, why online courses? Why are courses one of the ways that you decided you were going to help entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I would be lying if I said it wasn't initially because I just saw all my entrepreneurial friends doing it and them saying, like, number one, how much they really enjoyed the value proposition, which was they would, you know, share this thing, this course about something, and then someone would pay them money. So there's a really nice value exchange there. And the other thing was that, you know, I think learning is a pretty messed up thing right now. I mean, we all know that the student loan that whole thing. I'm not even going to get into it, but it's just, it's such a mess. I went to college. It was such a waste of time. I think back to the things that I was taught in school, and I just can't remember any of it of ever being any value. And so I think online learning has this amazing ability where we can, you know, people can pick and choose the things that they want to learn, or they can say, oh, you know, I don't really know if I want to write a book, but hey, here's a course on how to finish your damn book that these guys created. Sure, let me dabble in that. Let me see if that's something I'm interested in. Oh, wow, I actually learned a whole bunch of other stuff while I took that course. This is really helpful for my business. And so as I started to get into the online course world, I just noticed that there seemed to be a lot of really cool opportunities. And then when you start to get into it, you start to see things like, you know, Fedora popping up and, you know, other platforms that are around, but Skillshare, Udemy, you know, all these other ones. And then, you know, lynda.com gets purchased by LinkedIn, and it really proves the fact that online learning is this huge industry. And I don't know about you, but I think personally, almost everybody's going to have an online course in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to realize they have a skill to teach. They have something that they're better at than most people, and that they can then give that to the world and have that value exchange that I talked about. And I think that this is a really unique opportunity that we're moving into. And so I saw that and said, okay, I like making the courses, but I think I also want to be a facilitator of people creating their courses, which is how Teachery came about.
Very nice. And we're going to get to Teachery. But before we do that, I want to know, so some of the courses you created, just so everybody knows, you have created 1 Week to Profit, Finish Your Damn Book, and How to Get Sponsorships for Anything. What is your process for creating a new course? How do you approach it?
Yeah, it's a really good question as well. I think that the way that I've found the process that works best for me is it's about 6 steps. The first step is to just a straight list of bullet points of a brain dump. What are the things that I think I can teach based on this subject? You know, and let's just say it's sponsorship. So I'm just like, okay, all the different things I can look at. Okay, now let me next step take one bullet point and elaborate. Just again, brain dump, like just typing out words, no format, no structure. And I usually do this in separate Google Docs. And so I'm just filling out stuff. And then I go back and I, you know, kind of step three is basically filling out all the bullet points. Step four is then starting to look, okay, which of these are looking like lessons? Because if I'm looking at this as an online course, like where can I teach stuff? And which of them are maybe just anecdotal elements that can go into other lessons? So I start to look at that. And the fifth step is basically getting some type of feedback from somebody else and saying, okay, here's what I'm trying to teach. Maybe you know something about this or maybe you don't. How is this structure looking? If I've kind of moved it around very, very loose and telling them this is very first draft. And then kind of the last part of that is really all the nuts and bolts of it. It's the creating of the lessons, the recording of the content. But I think the first 5 steps are actually where most of the time needs to be spent, because that's where you deliver the majority of the value. How you actually put the course out into the world, whether it's Teachery, Fedora, I mean, I don't care what platform you use, and I own a platform. I just think that it's more important that you actually get the course out of your head, you get some feedback on it, and you really deliver great content. That's kind of the biggest, most important thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So in my world of creating courses for a lot of businesses, that what you just said is right. It's spot on. So what we call that is just the design of the course and thinking analytically, what needs to go into this course and how does it enable people to do what we've said they can do. So you're absolutely right. That's the biggest part. Speaking of content, how do you determine what content makes it into your course and what is actually maybe superfluous or something that should be in somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, I think I go back to the fact that I think everyone has a course to teach. So at some point you have to say, I trust in my gut that this is information that I want to put out into the world, that I believe in. So I look at a lot of the content that I write and I go, okay, is this something that's unique to me? It may not be a unique topic, but am I saying it in a unique way that it might resonate with someone? And so like just you saying designing a course, I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
So that's your unique way of saying creating course content, which is just how I describe it, right? Mine's boring, yours is sexy. That's okay. but I think that is the kind of the lens that you look at through that stuff. And then where the superfluous content kind of gets weeded out is when you start showing it to people a little bit in advance. And then for me, I kind of just like to listen to users and see how people are kind of consuming the course content after it's up. And I don't worry too much about having – it's not a book, right? It's not like a printed book where, well, what's in there is what's on paper. No, it's a digital product that you can go through and edit at any time you want. So let people come to you afterwards And instead of you making a bunch of assumptions of, oh, I don't know if someone's going to like this or this content may not be good, let someone tell you that. Because until they do, leave it in there and make sure that, you know, people are actually getting through the content and it's not just, you know, there are log jams all over the place. But if you're making assumptions, at least test those in some way so that you can say, okay, I'm removing this because, not just I'm removing this period, end of subject.
Yeah. So another key thing, which may seem obvious, but it's actually not for some people, a lot of people, is that a course should help people learn something, right? So, but that's kind of ambiguous. How do we measure learning? What are some things that you do that are specifically aimed at helping people learn and digest the material and take action?
Yeah, I mean, I think the last part there is something that I try and do with most of my courses is like, what's an action item that someone can do after watching or reading this lesson? And so maybe that's a worksheet that they can fill out. Maybe that's a short questionnaire that they can print off and, yeah, and look through. But I try and give some type of actionable element that they can do. And sometimes there's not that thing. You know, sometimes that there's just not a tactic for every lesson. But I think for the majority of lessons, I try and think of, all right, you've listened to all this. Now put it into practice in some way. And that way might just be, hey, go buy a domain for your website. Like, you know, whatever that course is that we're doing. And the Finish Your Damn Book one is a great example because there's a lot of stuff in there that's a lot of theoretical things. And it's not a ton of like actual practical, you know, items in certain lessons. But then in other lessons, it's like, go sign up for MailChimp. Like, go do that. Once you've done that, hey, you successfully started building your audience. Congratulations. Right. So there are some tactics and things. And I like to think of like worksheets and downloads and physical kind of items like that that people can use. And I guess some of them are physical because they're on our screens. But actually like having people like type and fill in forms and do that type of stuff gets them to move forward. It gets their brain going. It gets their hands moving. Those things really result in people actually doing stuff, which is important.
What have you learned from some of the people who've taken your courses that maybe made you take a step back and rethink your approach to how you were designing them?
You can never make things too simple. And I bet you know this better than anybody else. I will, and I don't mean to say this, like, I don't think people are necessarily dumb, but I will dumb things down so much to the point where I'm like, man, this is really sounding too simple. And people will ask questions and they'll go, I don't understand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? But then you think about it, like I'm teaching something that I probably have had a ton of experience with, or I've done it 100 times over. So of course I know it and it's so simple to me, but that doesn't mean that it's simple to the person who has never seen this thing before or whatever this tool is or whatever this task that you're trying to get them to do or teach them. So I just think that like a course cannot be simple enough, because if someone can walk away from it and go, I learned everything in that course, you win. No one ever does that because you simply can't do that. But I think that's a goal for me in any time I'm making this content is I want someone to walk away and go, yeah, I really, like, I got the gist of that. Like, I knew what Jason was trying to get me to do. Like, I understood it. I didn't have to ask a bunch of questions.
Yeah. So before we started recording, we were talking about our mutual friend, Paul Jarvis, who is awesome. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you and Paul both do is you have a lot of experiments with marketing and selling your courses, which is a challenge for a lot of my listeners and just people in general. Can you give us two or three tips that, because I think you're a marketing genius. I think you have like, I really do. So can you give us two or three tips for marketing online courses?
Yeah. Well, thank you for the kind words, first of all. I think one thing that I like to do is I like to pre-sell them. I like to have people put money where their mouth is before a course launches. So I had been asked by a bunch of people to do a podcast sponsorship course because I have this big sponsorship course, but it's not very focused on any specific topic, which is okay because it was the first course I ever did. But I wanted to really kind of niche down. And so I did this, you know, I said, okay, I'll do this course, but I'm not going to do it until people pay for it. So I put up a sales page and I said, hey, you have 2 weeks to pre-purchase this course. If enough people pre-purchase it, I will go ahead and I will make it over the course of the next month and I will deliver to you an awesome course. But I'm not going to make this course and invest all the time until my audience who has asked for it actually pulls out their wallet and pays. And so I had about 100 people purchase the course and my threshold was about like 60. So I overexceeded my threshold. I went and I made the course and people were very happy with it. So that's one way that I think works really well. Now, if you don't have an established audience, that can be a little bit harder, but I still think that depending on what your topic is, you can find places online where those people are and you can go to them and say, hey, I'm doing this thing, try and partner up, try and, you know, you can kind of put in the work to make that happen.
Yeah.
I think another way that you can market a course is to look at places where people are talking about these things and see if you can add an extra bit of value there. Like maybe you can do a webinar, or you can do a Q&A, or you can do any type of additional content, or maybe like a big written breakdown. You know, Medium is great for these things, like really break down a topic. And at the end of it, you can say like, hey, you want more on this? Did this bring you a lot of value? Like, I sell a course on this thing. And a lot of those things take a little bit of time, you know, and you're not going to just, you know, make six figures on one post or one Q&A chat or whatever, but you can really learn by listening to what do people keep asking about, you know, and if they keep asking about things, you should create content about those things. And that can lead to a lot of sales. So, you know, one of these is like a quick tactic. The other one's kind of a long-term tactic. But I think that that's a good thing for online courses is you want to continually have sales for these things. So you kind of need a mix of both.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about your most recent project, Teachery, which you mentioned a couple times. Can you tell us what it is? Tell us more about it.
Yeah, from the website, you know, we get people that email in. It's a closed platform. So my goal with Teachery is to never have Teachery open to the public, which is like the most backwards SaaS product marketing you could ever do. But here's why. I think that too much of the online world needs a social media strategy, needs a marketing funnel, needs all this stuff. And I think that those things being focused on take away from the product itself being incredibly good and worth talking about. And so what we want to do with Teachery and what we've been doing for the past year is just trying to build an insanely simple and beautiful course builder that someone who, if your technical abilities are, they stop at composing an email in Gmail, and that's like the most things that you can do online, then you can use Teachery.
Yeah.
And we just, it's not like we want to work with the lowest common denominator, you know, internet user. It's that we know that we're the type of people who, you want to put the content out into the world, but you don't want to get hung up on, oh man, I need a designer for this, or, oh, I need, you know, someone to know how to develop to like put this thing up on WordPress or whatever. Teachery is just so easy to use. You know, I've built a platform. I'm a designer by trade. Paul approved my framework. So that, you know, makes us feel good. But it's just, it's really simple to use. And we're actually transitioning into a new feature called Outlines, where people can answer, I think it's like 7 questions. And at the end of those 7 questions, kind of like a type form, if you're familiar with type form, you have a course built. And you literally have like the first version of your course, and you wouldn't even have known you were building a course because it's that simple and because it's that intuitive. So, you know, we're really trying to push the envelope on getting a course out of your brain into a physical course, because I think that's the biggest problem with the online course world right now. It's not that people don't know how to sell their courses or any of that stuff. It's that people aren't even getting their courses to completion. And that's just something we've heard from our initial users and people that have been in the platform through word of mouth and, you know, have emailed in. So it's funny because you might ask, well, how do people get into Teachery if it's closed? If you email us and ask us if you can have access to Teachery, you can have access to Teachery. But I'm not just going to leave it open for anybody to come in and kick the tires and then be like, oh, well, you know, I don't have time to do this because I'm busy with other things. It's just we're really focusing on simple and beautiful and easy to create.
Yeah. Well, I think that you hit on a couple of things. And the first thing is making things really simple and easy to use. And that's not just for people who aren't technically savvy. It's also for people who are pretty savvy and just don't. It's information overload nowadays, right? Yeah. You just need to be able to get something done simply. And that's, I found out about Teachery. And when I played around with it, I was like, yeah, this is really easy to use. So I think you guys do a great job of accomplishing that goal.
Awesome. No, I thank you. And I think that's one thing we've heard from it. And we have, I mean, as someone who has a design background, like I'm not even happy with the current state of where everything is. But I also know that these types of things like a SaaS product like Teachery, it takes time. And I care more, or I care less about like polishing icons and getting our colors to match up the right way than I do about like you finishing your course and making money selling that to your students. So, you know, I'm putting away my own kind of hangups on things that bother me and saying, okay, no, I want to help our end users first because they're the most important people and I want them to be successful before I care about this thing looking perfect.
You've touched on it a little bit, but I'm going to ask you to go a little bit deeper. So we've talked about Teachery, and there seems like there's a new platform, or what some people call a learning management system, popping up every month. How does Teachery fit into that landscape? How is it? What's the big difference of why someone would choose Teachery?
I had a guy email in like a week ago, and he was like, hey, I saw Teachery somewhere and someone said I should check it out. You know, what's your USP? And I didn't know what USP was, so I had to go and Google it, which is like your unique selling proposition, yeah, for those of you who also don't know the acronyms of the internet. And I'm a marketer, right? I should know these things. And I wrote back to him and I said, I'm going to be 100% honest. Teachery is a platform that's closed and people can only get in through word of mouth. That's our unique selling proposition. If you want in, I'm happy to let you in. But I'm not going to do all of the marketing things. I'm not going to do all the stuff that all the other platforms do to get you hooked. Yeah. Because I just don't think that that has to be done that way. And I know that my co-founder, Jolando, who is amazing and awesome, like we kind of butt heads on this, you know, because he sees these things working for other platforms where they're getting users in and all this stuff. And that's fine. But Teachery for me is a long-term game. You know, I think online courses are going to be around and there's going to be a huge uptick, just like podcasting is in a huge uptick right now. We're going to see that. And I don't need Teachery to be the number one result on Google. I don't need it to be the best social media strategy company. I just need it to be so good that if you use it, you tell a couple friends about it, and we'll grow that way. And we'll be really happy to continue to grow that way.
So for those people who hear about Teachery, whether they're listening in or they already know about it and they reach out to you and they want to use it and they have questions, what are support options? How do you support your audience?
Yeah, it's myself and my co-founder, Jolando, right now. We don't have a team. We haven't taken on funding. But if you submit a support ticket, I mean, you know, I don't want to put a foot in my mouth, but you should hear back within an hour or two at most. And that happens on weekends. That happens pretty much all the time because we're both working on other projects. We're both working on other things, but we also know that we like being treated a certain way when we have customer support issues. So we look through customer support through the lens of how would we want to be treated? So we get back to things as fast as humanly possible. We try and be as sincere as possible. We try and take, you know, as much, you know, fault on our shoulders if something is broken or not working. Even if someone just like typed in their email address wrong, we're like, we're so sorry that this page showed you an error. Oh, it looks like your email address just wasn't entered correctly. Because we like to be, you know, kind of treated that way ourselves. So yeah, support is something that we are always offering, you know, and I like to, you know, I'll email people who sign up and I'm like, hey, if you need help sizing your logo, if you need help picking colors for your course, if you need someone to edit your copy, I'll do it. And I'm a co-founder. I'm a guy who doesn't have a ton of time to do those things, but I'm willing to do it because I care about our customers more than I care about, you know, just getting more people in the funnel.
Well, I'm going to take a bold step here and say that I think that you do have a USP, a unique selling. What is it? Disposition, whatever that.
I have a unique selling position. How about that?
But I think for those who missed it earlier, you mentioned the outline that you all are implementing, which will help people who want to create an online course be able to just kind of walk through what their course should entail. That is huge. And I want everybody listening to understand that the struggle is not necessarily figuring out marketing and selling. You can do that and there are tools for that. For a lot of people, the struggle is just figuring out, how do I make this thing? What should be in it? So if you guys touch on that, then I think that is unique. And I think you should tell people about it.
Yeah, I think so too. It's funny. Right before we hopped on this call, I had a thought and we have this little outline and we're just testing it. You know, we're just going to see how this thing goes and it's 7 questions. But I think it'll be fun at the end of it to say, hey, are you having fun answering these questions? We have 7 more. Let's dive in. And then the other option that would be, no, I hate questions. I'm a troll who lives under a bridge. Like, you know, something like that. But, you know, there's some little psychological things that we need to do to help pull information out of people's brains because people are getting in their own way. And when I say people, I throw myself in there as well, because I know that when I'm creating courses, I get those log jams. I get those situations where I'm like, man, I just don't want to write about this anymore, or I don't have anything more to say about this topic. And then I end up, you know, going on to Facebook or going somewhere else, and I just completely lose track of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So we're really hopeful that we can continue to build and solve that exact problem that you just mentioned, because I do think that that will help everything else in our online course business, is to just make sure that people are getting their courses out into the world and getting them done.
I love it. Cool. So let's switch gears a little bit. If you had to go back and make each of your courses again with everything you've learned so far, what would you do differently?
Oh, man. So this question I get asked about just life in general too, right? Like, what's the big mistake you made? Honestly, I know it's a cop-out answer, but I would say I would change nothing, only because if I go back and change something, that means that I maybe I wouldn't have learned from it going forward, right? I mean, I guess that, okay, if the question goes, you can go back and change something now and it doesn't affect the outcome of where you are now. We're getting into some weird fourth wall stuff. But yeah, if I go back and it's not necessarily change the outcome, I mean, I think for especially my first course, some of the lessons are like 40 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it's because the topic needed the time, but I think I could go back and chop that up into smaller bits and bytes. I think the sweet spot in lessons and courses is like a 3 to 8 minute window. I think that's where you really hold the attention span of people.
Yep.
And I think another really unique thing that people can do is, or that I could do with my stuff, is to have more conversations with specific people in things that I'm talking about. So for my podcast course, I reached out to a couple of friends, one who's a Best of iTunes podcaster, one who has a podcast that generates like $10,000 a month in revenue for him. And I just did these Q&As with them. And there was nothing more than just, you know, me talking to them. But people have taken the course and they're like, oh my gosh, this Q&A was so awesome. You know, I got so much value out of that. And so I think if I could go back, you know, that would almost be something that I would try and find someone who's an expert or that I know that has experience in every topic that I've done a lesson about in a course and have a short conversation with them, because I think that would add a ton of value. And it also adds a little bit more credibility that now I have these other people that are included in my courses.
Cool. So do you have any last tips to share with anyone who might be listening and they want to build an online course and they just aren't sure where to start? Any tips that you could give them?
Well, they need to hire you, obviously. Then they have to use Teetree.
Right?
And, okay, we have all the plugs out of the way. Okay, we're done with plugs. So there's a couple things. I mean, I know that I've said, and you've said the same thing, it's the most important thing to get your course done. But it's also really important to start your audience building or your marketing before your course is done. Because if you can get people excited about it or, you know, learning a little bit more about it along the way with you and show some behind the scenes, it makes it easier then to launch that course and get some sales right off the bat. So I think that audience building is something people should focus on, you know, as they're doing their course. I know it feels like extra work, but it doesn't have to be a ton of extra work, and you don't have to build a 10,000 person audience. If you build 100 to 200 people, nurture them, take care of them, have personal conversations with them, that will work really well for you. Again, word of mouth is something I just really believe in.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is find people you can partner with. You know, like if you can find your own Paul Jarvis, don't you dare steal mine. but Paul and I have now made two courses together. You know, we have another couple that we want to do together in the next couple, you know, year or so. I'm sure we're going to do more stuff together, but our audiences now overlap nicely and they like getting new stuff from us. So it's an easy way for us to sell things where we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time individually. We just go, hey, let's partner up. We do this. We combine forces. We launch things and they do really well. So if you can build those relationships, and we mentioned, I think it was offline, but you know, Paul and I met over a year ago and then, you know, it was a year before we started doing anything together. That's how long it could potentially take to build a great relationship. Invest in that. You know, if you can find somebody who aligns with what you're doing. So I know I just babbled on a bit. So build an audience and find someone that you can partner with at some point. Those can be really helpful things.
I think the theme here is give a damn, you know, which
I hate to give Gary Vaynerchuk credit for it, but when he wrote in his book Crush It, it was like chapter 9, and it was one page and it just said care.
Yeah.
And that's all it said. I mean, that resonated so heavily with me just as a person and what I do. But it's the perfect illustration of who I am. I mean, that's it. I give a damn. I care. I want people to be successful. I want to have a good value exchange in anything that I'm selling and putting out in the world. And I think you do too. I mean, I get that vibe from you as well. And that's really important. I just think if people are going forward, that if you're just trying to make a course for money, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have a one hit wonder that makes you a little bit of money. But if you want long sustaining income that continues to build a business for you that you really enjoy, you have to care, and you have to care about the relationships of both your customers and the people you're partnering with, et cetera.
Absolutely. So last two questions. One question that I ask every guest, what is your why? Why do you do all this craziness?
Yeah. I mean, I think I feel that I stick out in a world where you're supposed to go down a certain path. And so I want to help people feel okay that they can stick out too. And whether that's being creative, whether that's just embracing who you are as a person, you know, right now I'm just really excited about letting people be exactly who they are and building a business around that. And I think that if I've been able to do it, just a nobody from Florida who had no experience and knew nothing about business at all, anybody can do it. And so that's kind of how I would answer that right now.
Okay. Where can people find out more about you, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about Tea Tree, so if anybody is listening to this and they're like, oh, okay, I want to at least kick the tires on this thing, you can email me, jason@teatree.co. And then all of my weekly writing and all my projects I work on are at jasondoesstuff.com.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much. This has been great.
Thank you so much.
All right.
All right, all right, all right. If you enjoyed that interview with Jason Zook from jasondoesstuff.com, you can check out his online course platform that we talked about at teachery.co. That's teachery.co. Jason is always challenging the status quo and sharing his courses, products, and marketing experiments. You can check out his latest project at buymyfuture.com. If you have a question, or if you'd like to see someone on the show, I would love to hear from you. Drop me an email at hello@zencourses.co. That's .co, not .com. Also, check out the show notes and leave me a comment at zencourses.co. This is Janelle, and I will see you next time. Thanks for listening.